Holy Spirit, we ask you to invade this place today, to invade this place with your power, to invade this place with your word. Speak into hearts, transforming lives, building us up. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We rely upon you. We look to you as the teacher of the church, the author of the written word of God. And we thank you. We thank you for speaking to us today. Now, Father, we worship you and we honor you. For there's none that can compare to you. Thank you, Father, for who you are, all that you are in our lives. We are so thankful, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Well, we've been in this series. We're going to continue again today, talking about life in the Spirit. And this is actually, this is my new favorite series, Life in the Spirit. And the Lord has been saying so many things to us. How many of you had the Lord speak to you in this series? Raise your hands. Wow. How many of you have been challenged? Good. We want to be challenged. Amen. Thank God for times when we can come to church and we just have those warm, fuzzy messages and things that make us, feel good, like a good cup of hot chocolate or something like that. But sometimes we need to be confronted with the mirror of the word to look at areas of our lives where we can stand a little further change and grow. Amen. 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 And it's amazing how that the Holy Spirit can come and one single word spoken by the power of the Holy Spirit is more valuable to us than anything that this world has to offer. Anything that this life has to offer. Amen? And we're here today to receive his words, right? Amen? Life-filled words that dominate sin and death. Power-filled words. We must have, without question, we must have the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given to us not just for times when we can come together as a church family. Thank God for those times and thank God for the corporate anointing. But the Holy Spirit, he was sent here to indwell us. He was sent here to help us with our everyday lives. The very Spirit of God himself, the Holy Spirit. Because we know where the Father's at. The Father's in heaven. Jesus is seated there at his right hand. But Jesus told us that when he left, that he would send the Holy Spirit to us. Amen. To help us. Amen. That we would be endued with power. Amen. So when you have the Holy Spirit, you have the very power of God himself residing on the inside of you. The one that flung these stars into existence. The one that created planets. That's pretty wild when you think about it. Amen. But yet he's so concerned about you and I that he comes and he dwells on the inside of us. Praise God. Now, we know this, if you want to turn and look at this really quick. In Acts chapter 2, we read this last week, but it bears reading again today. In Acts sometimes I'm still getting used to this new Bible. Acts chapter 2, in verse 1, it says from the New Living, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly there was a sound from heaven, like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. Now, there are two, if you're a good student of the word, you'll realize this, that we've read previously over in John's gospel, where Jesus, he had his disciples together, and before he went up into heaven, he breathed on them. You remember that? And he said, receive the Holy Spirit, right? Well, that very life-giving Spirit, he breathed back into man the very breath of life again, and man became alive because he was dead without God. So then man became alive again, right? So then the Spirit of God created man's spirit, recreated man's spirit in the very image of God himself. We became alive, connected with life, right? Delivered, transferred out of the kingdom of darkness. Amen? Yeah, that's the greatest miracle of all right there. Greater than anything that we could see naturally with the healing of a physical body, no matter how horrible the disease may be. That is the greatest miracle of all. A sinner, somebody that is dead, spiritually dead, getting born again. Yes. That's tremendous. Yes. Amen? Amen? Thank God for that. How many of you are born again? Amen. I'm glad to be born again. Amen. Amen? I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is in me. But then there is another experience that is different from that, that the Bible talks about there in Acts chapter 1 and actually chapter 2, where the Holy Spirit comes, right? Now see, these guys that were in the upper room, they were already born again, right? They were there. They were already born again. Then there is another experience that comes that is subsequent to, you know, getting saved and born again, and that is called the infilling or the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Thank God that the Holy Spirit comes and he dwells and lives on the inside of us. But then he kicks it up a notch. And he endues us with power for everyday living. Amen. And part of that comes is through the enabling that we get this power from on high is the ability then, as the Holy Spirit directs, the ability to pray in other tongues. How cool is that? I used to make fun of that. Remember I talked to you about that last week? I used to make fun of churches like that. I used to make fun of people that went to places like that. Those people are nuts. They're kooky, you know, because I was raised Southern Baptist. You know, we don't believe in stuff like that. That's just weird. Anybody ever raised that way? You raised that way? You were raised that way? We don't believe in stuff like that. But then I began to get hungry. You ever get hungry? There's got to be more to life. There's got to be more to this Holy Spirit thing. What is all of this about? When you really get hungry, when you really search the scriptures, and when you really search out the things of God, he will come and he will meet you. And he will begin to reveal to you things and show you things that you thought were just couldn't be. Amen. You know, we have to learn what it means to believe again. You see, we think we're believers just because we get saved and because we get born again. But are we really believing believers? You know, because it matters what you believe. I wrote a book on that, if anybody's ever read that. It matters what you believe. And we have to make sure that we believe the right things. Could it be that so many people aren't walking in the power of the Holy Spirit simply because they don't believe? And if we don't believe, that is the biggest obstacle to us receiving this tremendous ability, this tremendous power that the Holy Spirit comes and he endues us with. I want to believe. Amen. How many of you want to believe? Yes. You know, you were created to believe. There's something, if you'll search your heart and if you begin to look inward, there is something on the inside of you that wants to believe. Now, your head is going to argue with your heart. You ever get in an argument with yourself? Oh, I get in arguments with myself all the time. My head's telling me something. My heart's telling me something else. And there's this, you know, there's this argument that goes on. Anybody had those arguments? Amen. But there's something on the inside of every believer that wants to truly believe and to believe greater than we ever have before. Amen. Lord, help our unbelief. I want to believe greater. What about you? Because there's greater things that he has for us. Amen. Greater things that the Holy Spirit desires to do in and through us. Amen. You ever think about this? Why did the Father send the Holy Spirit to live inside of us? Why did he send him to do that? Why did he send the third person of the Godhead, the very power of God himself, the one that hovered, Genesis chapter 1 says, that hovered over the face of the deep, right? Then God spoke, right? Then that Spirit brought to pass whatever it was that the Lord spoke. Wow, why did he send him to indwell on the inside of us? Why was he sent to us? Why is he on the inside of me? It has to be bigger. Now listen to this. There has to be more to it than even just, not just the born again experience, but even that subsequent experience. There's more to it than just the ability of speaking in other tongues. Do you ever think about that? He doesn't come to infill us and to baptize us in the Spirit just so we can speak in other tongues and then, but there's a purpose. Yes. Amen? There's purposes attached to it. The reason why that the Holy Spirit comes and he dwells on the inside of us is so that he can transform our lives. That's why he's here. He knew we needed help. He's our helper. And he's come to indwell us and to live on the inside of us to begin to transform our lives. Amen. You see, when we get saved, when we get born again, that man on the inside, we are created in the very image of God himself. Aren't you thankful for that? But there are areas in our thinking that's not yet saved and not yet transformed. And there are things that happen even in our physical body that's just not quite right. And we know it's not quite right, but yet we do it anyway. Right? And so the Holy Spirit comes and he enables us, he empowers us to be transformed in all three levels. Spirit, soul, made up the mind, will, and emotions, and our bodies, eventually affecting the outer man. Oh, thank God for that. It's an inner working. The Holy Spirit is working inward in us, working in our hearts, working in our minds, and transforming us every single day for those that want to be transformed. I don't know about you, but I want to be transformed. Every time I open up the mirror of the Word, because the Word of God is like a mirror. Every time I open up the mirror of the Word, I see things in myself that need to be transformed. What about you? Well, thank God we have the Holy Spirit to come and to help transform that. You are a transformer. Hopefully not in disguise. Amen. And so there is an inward working of the Holy Spirit that God desires to do on the inside of every born again believer. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I've loved this verse. I've always loved this verse. It's always fascinated me. Just this simple verse here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. And the New King James just poses it as a question. It says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" Wow. We say that we know that. How many of you think that you know that? I think that I know that. But then there are areas, there are levels that the Holy Spirit takes us to, right? Where we thought that we knew something, where there's even more light that's there. Amen. You are a temple. Your body is a temple. You're a walking, breathing, living church wherever you go. The temple of God. The Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of you. The Amplified puts it this way. It says, "Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, his sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has his permanent dwelling in you, to be at home in you, collectively as a church, and also individually. That's powerful. Amen. Amen? That is so powerful. You know, this inward working of the Holy Spirit, as we become accustomed to His voice and hearing His voice, we can become led by His Spirit. The inner working of the Holy Spirit allows us to learn His voice, discern His voice, know and realize when He speaks to us. And it allows us, He allows us to be led then by our spirits, His Spirit in our spirits, to be led that way instead of being led by our flesh. Instead of being led by our mind, will, and emotions, and things that go contrary to what our heart tells us. Amen? Thank God that the Holy Spirit is in us. Now look over here in Romans chapter 8. You know this verse, but I'm going to read this to you. Romans 8, verse 14. From the New King James, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." That's wonderful. That's great. Now listen to another translation. This is from the Letters translation. It reads this way. It says, "All people who let God's Spirit lead them are His children." All people who let God's Spirit lead them are His children. Well, if I am letting the Holy Spirit lead me every day in my everyday affairs, if I'm allowing Him to lead me, then I'm His child. I'm His child. You're His child. Amen? So then if I'm His child, then He desires to lead me because He's leading me because there's things that I can't see that He can see. And He's taken me places that I couldn't go by myself because I wouldn't know how to get there and I wouldn't know what to do once I got there, but He knows. So He leads us. Amen. Transforms us. Recreates us. We are progressively, every single day, becoming more and more and more like Him, being changed from glory to glory to glory to glory. That's what the Scripture tells us. Amen. I'm hungry for more of that. What about you? Amen. Oh, thank God, thank God. So that's the inner working of the Holy Spirit, working in us, being led by His Spirit so we can transform. Or we can put it to you this way, so that our spirits then can be the ones that are dominating our flesh and our minds instead of our minds dominating our spirits. Our spirit man must get bigger, must get stronger, right? Amen? Amen? And it will get to the point where we're so being transformed and we're so being built up on the inside of us through the working, the inner working of the Holy Spirit, that our flesh and all of its unholy desires, they begin to fall by the wayside. Right? It's a process of that. The very measure, listen to this, the very measure that God's power is seen and experienced in our lives is dependent upon just how much of our lives is ordered by the Holy Spirit. The depth of the power that we walk in. The depth of the power that we walk in. The very measure of God's power that is seen and experienced in our lives, in our everyday lives. It is totally dependent upon just how much or just how many of our steps are ordered by the Holy Spirit. I want Him ordering every single step. I don't want to just take a step on my own and hope that He can bless it and then say, "Well, Lord, bless this." I want to take steps that He orders, that He directs. Because if He is ordering and if He is directing my steps, then I don't have to ask Him to bless it. Because it's blessed already. Amen. Isn't that good? Now look at Psalm 37. Psalm 37. We know this verse and we quote it many times. Psalm 37, verse 23. Oh, I love the Holy Spirit. He's real. He's a person. He's not just some mist that's floating out there. He's real. He's a person. Psalm 37, 23, it says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." He delights in every detail of their lives. Do you love that? The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their lives. He delights in every detail of your life. Isn't that cool? He takes delight. He takes joy in every detail of our lives. That's powerful. The next verse says, though they stumble, they will never fall, for the Lord holds them by the hand. Have you ever stumbled? Amen. We've all stumbled. But he's there to hold us by the hand and to pull us back up. Amen. To help us stay on the path, because the Lord directs the steps of the godly. He's interested in every detail of your life and mine. Amen. He wants to be involved. Do you ever think about that? He wants to be involved with everything that you do. Everywhere that you go, because you see, wherever you go, remember, you're the temple of the Holy Ghost. There are some places that that Christians, we take our temples that we shouldn't be taking our temples. There are some things that we wouldn't imagine, we wouldn't dream of doing at a church or in a church, talking about a facility or a building. But yet, we have no problem going outside of a physical location and doing those things elsewhere because it's not in the church. But we fail to realize that we are the church. And where we go, he goes. And we are a temple, the temple of God himself. And so then we take this temple then into places and locations, and then we begin to do things that he's not really ordering and directing our steps. Are you here today? Now, this is not a condemning message, so don't misunderstand this. This is help. Amen. This is help. So the Lord, he wants to be involved with every decision that we make. Every decision. You think about that. Every decision that you've had to make, every decision that you'll ever face from here forward in the future, he wants to be involved in those decisions. What if we really let him get involved? What if we stop making decisions on our own? Because most of the time those decisions are wrong. And we think it's the Lord leading us when it's not. It's just our flesh. You know, we're wanting to put the stamp of the Lord said this just so we can get the approval of everybody else. And justify our actions. Anybody ever done that? Don't raise your hand. I saw you, Anel. I'm just messing. We've all done that. But as you begin to mature in Christ and as you begin to grow in him, then you come to the place where you don't want to do that. Amen? Amen. You don't want to do that anymore. And so he comes to direct our steps, to get involved with every detail of our lives, to lead us and to guide us. Why? So that we can live free. You see, wherever he leads us is freedom. Every decision that he is involved in is a decision of freedom. Amen. Amen. It's a decision that produces the goodness of God. Sometimes we can look at things in the natural and we think, well, how is that freedom? It just seems like bondage. Very often the things that appear to us as bondage, they only appear as bondage to the unrenewed mind. But to the man that is connected with God, but to the man that is being directed by the Holy Spirit, he never leads us in bondage. Matter of fact, he's leading you out of bondage. But see, then the devil comes and he begins to take some of these things. You know, so bondage being involved in churches, so much bondage, you know, having to do this and having to do that. It's just so much bondage, you can't do anything. Everything is church, 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 church. It's just so much of bondage. Anybody ever heard those lies? I've heard those lies. Not realizing this is our freedom in Christ to live free and to help others and to be a blessing to others. But then the devil comes and he takes something that's good and he begins to twist it and pervert it in our minds and thinking. Then man can get involved in there. That's where some of this goofiness comes in with religion. Religion is nothing more than man setting things up and doing things his way without God. Yeah. Then we make religions out of it. Yeah. Right? I mean, you can't wear makeup. You have to wear, you know, a dress. You know, lady has to wear a dress, and she sure can't talk in church. Well, we broke that mold. Amen. I've actually received emails, even within the past 12 months, from somebody that left because I let my wife speak in the church. Wow. Are we still doing that? We haven't grown beyond that? You haven't had the Holy Spirit enlighten you to some of these things and understand some of these things? That's pretty crazy, isn't it? Amen. Look at Galatians chapter 2. So the Holy Spirit comes to help us be in charge instead of our flesh being in charge. Galatians chapter 2. I want to live free from the dictates of sinful flesh. Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. I love these verses from the New Living Translation. It says, "My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me." That's powerful. You ever meditate on this verse? There is so much in this verse, so much life in this verse. Then he goes on to say it this way, "So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Wow. You should just take this verse. You should take this and go home tonight and just meditate on Galatians 2:20 and maybe 21 as well. Powerful verses. Verse 21 says, "I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless. For if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die." Now, we don't have time to talk about all of the law and the grace and all of that. You know, that's a whole other series, right? But it's important to note here that the Lord graces us. He gives his grace. Grace comes not just to forgive past mistakes or when we stumble and his hand is there to pick us up. Grace is not just there for that, but grace is there to lead us so we don't have to stumble. To empower us to live above. Amen? To empower us living and walking in the grace of God, not treating it as meaningless or as an excuse to live in a way that I want to live, but realizing that the grace of God empowers me to crucify the flesh and allow the Lord to get involved with every detail of my life and for him to order every single step. That's powerful. Life in the Spirit. That's what we want. Amen. That's just my opening. So let's turn and let's review John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Thief comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Why did Jesus come? To give us life and life more abundant. So why did he come? Did he come to give me a new house? Did he come to give me a new car? Did he come to, you know, to give me all of this stuff that's actually okay, but was that his main purpose in coming? No. Did he come to give us a healed body? Well, yes and no. That's kind of just a fringe benefit. But he came what? To give us life. To connect us once again with himself, with life himself. And by being connected with him in life, right? Then all these other things come as a result. As long as you don't get things out of order and do things God's way and God's plan, right? Too many people, we've had our lives stolen from us. The devil has stolen our lives. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. A lot of times we label, well, this happened to my dog, or this happened to my kid, or this happened at work, and you know, they cut my pay, and the devil's just stealing. Well, yes and no. Yes and no. Now listen to me now. He comes to steal life, your spiritual life. All of these other things that happen on the outside, they're secondary. And when you begin to understand life in the Spirit and how to have your steps ordered of the Lord, it really makes no difference what happens out here on the outside, because what happens on the inside of you is far more important. And what happened on the inside of you, the purpose of Him coming, then gives you authority to exercise on the outside. Amen. We have authority now.
Yes.
In Christ. And it's not that Jesus walked up and says, okay, I've given you authority over all the power of the enemy. And then He comes in and Larry, He gives us this badge and said, every time the devil bothers you, you pull this badge out and he'll run. He didn't do that. No. What was the authority? Remember we talked about this. What was the authority that He gave us? Life. Being connected with Him again. See, life is always in authority over death. Death is never in authority over life. A lot of times we can look at things from a natural standpoint and we think, well, you know, death won this one. No, death never wins, especially if you're born again and if you're saved. Death never wins. It ain't over yet. Amen. Life is far more powerful than death. And so when you are connected with life on the inside of you, then that puts you in a position of authority over all the works of the enemy. Everything. Amen? Oh, thank God for that. Thank God for that. I'm glad for the authority that we possess in the Spirit. So when the life of God comes in, so does God's authority and so does God's power. Right? So then you want to read Luke chapter 10 again? We might as well. I'm not rushing through this series. We're adding a little bit more each time. We're building on this a little bit more each time. But it's important that we reread and revisit the foundation of this. So in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, New Living Translation. Thank God for technology. You can download all of these messages and listen to them online. Isn't that cool? Luke 10, 18, New Living. It says, yes, He told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you. Now, a lot of times we can read this verse and we can think that, well, He's given us authority, so that means that I don't have to walk among snakes and scorpions. As long as you are here on this planet, you are going to walk among snakes and scorpions. You are. But it says here, you can walk among these snakes and you can walk among these scorpions. But it says here that you can crush them. They're not going to crush you. Nothing will injure you, it says. In other words, things look like they have the potential of stopping us and injuring us. And I mean, stopping us dead in our tracks. But if He is ordering our steps, are the steps that He is ordering, we're walking in life. We're walking in that authority then, because I'm in authority over the snakes and the scorpions. I can walk among them because He's ordering my steps.
Amen.
And it's not going to injure me. Oh, that's so good.
Yes.
Amen. And there's things that we face every single day. That you and I face every single day. It's not an actual, literal, physical scorpion or snake all the time. Sometimes it may be a scorpion, especially around here. But it may not be that. It could be an event. It could be a happening. It could be something that happened on the job. Or maybe something that didn't happen that you thought should happen. And these things, even though we wouldn't necessarily put a label on them in the natural as being a snake or a scorpion, but to us, they become snakes and scorpions.
That's good, Pastor. Amen.
Amen. They do. So we experience this every single day. But Jesus came to give us authority over that.
Amen.
Amen. How? By connecting us with Him. and by him living on the inside of us. And sometimes it may look like that he is leading you directly into a trap of a snake or a scorpion. But you see, he knows the outcome, and he knows the authority that life has on the inside of you, and he knows you're going to come out of this not even smell like smoke. Oh, that's so good. That makes me almost want to run around the church. Amen. How many of you ever had anything bad happen to you in life? If you haven't, then you haven't really been alive. Amen. Thank God for his grace. Praise God. But part of the authority that Jesus came to give us was authority then over our flesh. Over our flesh. Sometimes your flesh can be a snake. Sometimes your flesh can be a scorpion to yourself and to others. Your flesh, that part of you that still needs to be submitted to the inner man, the man on the inside of you. I don't know, but you could be a snake. Just messing. Has your flesh ever been a snake to you? Has it done something and then come back and bit you? Oh, it has to everybody. And so then that's an area that Jesus came to give us authority over. He came to give us authority once again over all the power of the enemy, even the power of the enemy working in and through your flesh. So that the spirit man can dominate the flesh. Now see, this is a process. We grow in this. This is being transformed. This is not just something that you get saved today and then tomorrow, you know, you get discouraged because something happens or you say something or you do something. This is a process. This is a lifelong process, actually. Aren't you thankful for his grace? Yes. Amen. Yes. Until we can master authority over our flesh, our soul, made up of our mind, will, and emotions, and our body, we're going to have a difficult time living and walking in victory in any arena of life. We need to start exercising that authority in us and through us over our flesh. And then when things come up on the outside, whether it be sickness or disease, or you're trying to help somebody else or even financially, then those things are far easier because you've already practiced on the lion and the bear, as David would say. You've already practiced on the snake and the scorpion of your flesh. This helping you today? Far too many of us, we're dominated by our souls. The soul of man, our mind, our will and emotions that haven't yet been renewed, that haven't yet been fully submitted, that really don't think the very thoughts of God sometime. Right? And we allow these things to dominate us instead of that real you on the inside getting big enough, strong enough to dominate those things. That's part of the transformation process. That's what we're doing. That's what we talk about when we talk about spiritual growth. And so then Jesus, he came then to give us back our authority. He came to give us back our life in the Spirit, right? Yes. I want to make sure you're involved with this. Jesus came to destroy the root of it all, which is sin. And everything that come in with sin, sickness and disease, poverty and lack, and everything. He came to destroy the root of it all, which was death. Look over Isaiah chapter 53. See, we're going to look at these verses in new light. Isaiah 53, I'm going to read this out of the Amplified, verse 3. And we know these verses, and we quote these a lot of times, especially when we're having to deal with maybe a sickness in somebody's body. Right? Yes. Isaiah 53, verse 3, it says, Amplified, he was despised and rejected. Who are we talking about here? Who? Jesus. Right? He was despised and rejected and forsaken by men, a man of sorrows and pains and acquainted with grief and sickness. And like one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised. And we did not appreciate his worth or have any esteem for him. Surely he has borne our griefs, sicknesses, weaknesses, and distresses, and carried our sorrows and pains of punishment. Yet we ignorantly considered him stricken, smitten, and afflicted by God as if with leprosy. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our guilt and iniquities. Notice that. Amen? The chastisement needful to obtain peace and well-being for us was upon him, and with the stripes that wounded him, we are healed and made whole. Now think about this. Just how deep were these stripes on Jesus' back? You ever go see that? You saw The Passion, but they got the new movie out. Ever go see Son of God yet? If you haven't seen that, you need to go see that movie. That is an amazing movie. But in there, they show you know, Jesus getting beat, you know, whipped before they hung him on the cross, the stripes that were laid upon his back. And there's a man sitting there counting the stripes that were laid upon his back. But many times we look at these stripes that were laid upon him, and everything that was done to his physical body, everything that happened to him physically, which it had to. Don't. I'm not making light of that. But then that's all that we see. And how terrible that was. Absolutely, that is very terrible. But just how deep were those stripes? How deep did those stripes go? They weren't just stripes that affected his physical body. The deeps went far. Or the stripes went far deeper than that. Remember, the chastisement for our peace, he took upon himself everything, the iniquities, the sin of the entire world. Those stripes, they went deep. They were deeper than anything that we could see on his physical body. Physical body was a mangled mess. I don't make light of that. But they went far deeper than that. Oh, they were deep. Amen? How deep were they? The root. They went all the way to the root of death. 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 Amen? Till eventually we saw that root manifest even in Jesus' physical body. Death. Where he had to lay his body down. Right? And then he departed, left his body, and then he went to the very depths of hell itself for you and I, spiritually dead, separated from God. How deep were the stripes of Jesus? They were deep. So deep. So deep. They cut him so deep, straight to the root they went and cut off the very power of death. Laid upon him the punishment of our sins. Amen. What we saw in the physical sense of Jesus' body, this was only the fruit or the result of what was transpiring or going on spiritually and inwardly. Yeah. What was taking place. Mm-hmm. That's powerful, isn't that? Jesus came and he dealt with the root. He came and he dealt with death. And he dealt with it once and he dealt with it for all. Amen. Amen. So that the devil doesn't have to steal, kill, and destroy life anymore. He came, John 10, to give us life. He died so we wouldn't have to spiritually. Amen. And then we all know what happened 3 days later after, you know, everything was done. You know, God spoke out of heaven itself that rattled the very gates of hell itself and went straight down to the very pit of hell itself, to the bottom of the pit. And it began all over again. Amen. where he was resurrected up out of that pit. Made alive again. Because sin had been dealt with. Death had been dealt with. And then he entered back. That life entered back into that body that was in the tomb. See, well, that wasn't the real Jesus. That was just his body. Because see, he was doing something else while his body was in there. But after that was paid, because those stripes were so deep, and because that victory was so victorious, when he resurrected from the dead, out of the very pit of hell itself, see, his body didn't go there. It just looked like it'd been there. Amen? But then that spirit, his spirit, was reunited with that body. And because his spirit now was so full of life, it transformed that body, and that body became glorified to the point where the grave couldn't hold him. Oh, how cool is that? That actually happened. Amen. How deep were the stripes of Jesus? They were deep. How deep is this life that we have now in Christ? Oh, it's deep. How strong is it? Oh, it's strong. It couldn't hold Jesus down, and his death couldn't hold him down, and it can't hold you down either.
Amen.
So then something tries to jump on your physical body. The next time you stand up and you declare 1 Peter 2:24, which is quoting Isaiah 53, over your physical body, you're quoting that and you're speaking that from a greater place of authority. Because you understand, you know the root of this, and it can't stay there.
Amen.
Get your hand off of my body, and it has to go. Amen. Because see, the authority that you're exercising, it's not just an authority that you speak with your physical mouth, but your physical mouth is speaking with the voice of your spirit that is connected to life itself. And that life is coming out of your mouth, the very words that you speak, then things out here change in the flesh world. Wow. That's exciting when you think about that. Amen. But our flesh, this is where we need to practice every single day. You may not run into a physically dead person to practice this on. Not you really need to be practicing that. You know what I'm trying to say. But practice this on your flesh every day. Amen. Every single day you need to be exercising this authority, this life over your flesh. Amen. Because our thinking patterns and our ways of living, our natural lives, they are trained to live and think a certain way without God. Sinful. Now we have to train ourselves to think differently now. And to act differently. See, when you begin to think different, you'll act different. And the reason why people act the way that they act, and the reason why people do some of the things that they do, and do some of the things that they say they would never do, is because they still think wrong. And then their actions will line up with what they think, no matter what comes out their mouth. But if we get all of these in alignment, how cool is that?
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. That's powerful, isn't it?
Amen.
And so then we have to train ourselves to live out of our new nature. The nature of God on the inside of us, the nature of life, the nature of the new man. We have to renew our minds because our mind is the hinge that will open the door either to being led by the Spirit, living out of our spirit. It's the hinge. Or it'll go the other way of letting your flesh dictate things to you. Amen? I'm a child of God.
Amen.
Spirit of God leads me.
Amen.
He will always lead you in triumph and in victory over your flesh if you'll listen to him. He'll show you what needs to be done. We say things like, I couldn't help it. Or the devil made me do it. No, he did it. And you could help it.
Amen.
Amen. You can help it. Oh, thank God. And so we have to train ourselves to mortify or to put to death the deeds or the works or the fruit of the flesh. We train ourselves in doing this. How do we train ourselves? Well, we got to build ourselves up. Right? We got to build ourselves up. How? By praying. Praying in the power of the Holy Spirit. Praying, having communion with God. Reading His Word. Our spirits must be stronger than our bodies. Look at Jude chapter 1. We'll go back and read this. There's so much that we're still getting out of the reviews. Just when you think you've heard it all, you haven't. I so love this. I wrote this in my Bible. This is a little sidetrack here. I just noticed it. Revelation 22, the very end. I've got love, Jesus, right there. Because these are letters sent to me. And if you notice, you should do this in your Bible. I just think it's cool. You go over to Genesis chapter 1. Just a little sidetrack here. Little insight. And I've got in the very beginning above, you know, chapter 1, verse 1, I've got Dear Wayne. Dear Wayne, love Jesus. Amen. Because this was written to me. Amen. You should do that too. Realize this. This is God's letter to you. It's a love letter to you. So where are we at? Jude. Verse 20. New Living Translation, it says, But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Build yourself up, it says. The Amplified puts it this way. It says, But you, beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. Make progress. Rise like an edifice higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. So how are we building ourselves up? By praying in the Holy Spirit. How does that build me up? It makes your spirit man stronger. Higher and higher, like an edifice, like a skyscraper. Higher and higher and higher. The more time that we spend praying in the power of the Holy Ghost, our spirit man gets stronger and stronger and stronger over our flesh. Amen. So that we don't have to be led around by our flesh anymore. Amen. Amen? Amen? Now look back at Romans 8, verse 13. Let's look at this. Oh, we're going to wind up. I'm barely getting through the review again. That's all right. Romans 8, verse 13. King James puts it this way. It says, For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Very rarely do I read King James, but I like that word mortify. It just sounds kind of cool. It's not a word that we use every day. Amen. But if through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, we have the ability to mortify the deeds of our body. How? Through the Spirit. Through the Spirit. He told us right here, through the Spirit. God's Word translation puts it this way. It says, If you live by your corrupt nature, you're going to die. But if you use your spiritual nature to put to death the evil activities of the body, you'll live. So we have the ability then to use our spirit nature to put to death evil deeds that our body wants, that it does. Amen? We have that ability to do that. Praying in the power of the Holy Ghost. Building yourself up. Praying. You see, when we pray in other tongues, we're praying things out that we don't necessarily understand, but He understands. You see, this is part of Him directing our steps. Something that He sees, something that He knows. Because He's the Holy Spirit. He sees ahead. Right? And then what we pray then, through the power of the Holy Spirit, it can begin to reveal things to us, these things that we don't understand, till we get to the point where we get bigger and bigger and bigger on the inside because we see, because He reveals. And the mysteries are no longer a mystery to us anymore. If you'll do this, then this is going to happen. Holy Spirit says, if you do this, this comes to you in prayer, then this will happen. Or this is happening because of this. So change this. This is how we grow. Amen? See, tongues can manifest themselves in several different ways. If you want, turn and look at this, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 from the New King James again. I love this. It says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. Now think about this in regards to prayer and praying in the Spirit. When we pray, we know when we pray in accordance to his will, we believe that he hears us. The scripture talks about that. And we believe that we have whatever it is that we're asking of him, right? Right? Well, most of the time, we only relate that to prayers that we pray with our understanding, the language that we know. You know, you can pray in the Spirit, being directed by the Spirit. He answers prayer that we pray with our understanding. He's sure going to answer prayer that you pray. Amen. Directed by the power of the Spirit. Yeah. Isn't that cool? Yes. I expect every time I pray in other tongues, I know that that is going to be answered because I'm praying according to the perfect will of God. And he answers that. Amen. That's cool. So it says here, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Notice that. Well, I don't understand what they're saying. Good. He's not talking to you. Right? Amen? But it says here, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit it says, he speaks mysteries. He speaks mysteries. NIV puts it this way. It says, he utters mysteries with his Spirit. He utters mysteries with his Spirit. Now, you see, they're only mysterious to us. God doesn't have any mysteries. There's nothing that is mysterious to him. Do you think that he ever got blindsided by something? That where did that come from? Huh? No, there's no mysteries to him. They're only mysterious to us. But when we pray in the Spirit, we're not speaking to man, we're speaking to God. However, in the Spirit, our spirit is uttering these mysteries that our mind doesn't understand, that he knows these things, and he's speaking them in and through us so that they don't remain mysterious to us anymore. Oh, that's so powerful. Amen. The Amplified puts it this way. It says, in the Holy Spirit, he utters secret truths and hidden things not obvious to the understanding. Secret truths. Hidden things. Not obvious. In other words, you wouldn't figure this out on your own. You wouldn't know the plan of God concerning this on your own. See, he needs to direct that. He needs to be involved with that detail. How do we get him? Pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Well, I thought you know, you couldn't pray in other tongues unless there was an interpreter there present. Or I thought, you know, tongues is for we don't understand that there are actually four different. Can you say four?
Four.
There are four different. I mean, we're kind of all over the place with this message today, but that's all right. There are four different manifestations of tongues. We need to understand these four. The first one is this, and you can write this down. Tongues come, or they manifest themselves this way. Tongues come for personal edification. They're for personal edification. In other words, in your private prayer time, you can be praying, you can be praying in other tongues. And the purpose of that praying then is for you personally. It's for personal edification. It's for building yourself up. Right? Are you here? And then tongues can manifest themselves in another manner. This is another manifestation of the gift of the Spirit working through tongues. And tongues will come through tongues and then interpretation. Now, it's better, the scripture says, and this is where we've very often misunderstood this. Well, you can't do this in church because, you know, if nobody's there to interpret. It's because you don't understand what you're reading. Right? What's the purpose? What's the manifestation of the tongue? Is it for your personal edification Or is it coming in a church service, in a setting where you're going to have tongues and then the interpretation of those tongues or that mystery being revealed through an interpreter made known to you through ears and in a language that you understand? And that is actually equal to gift of prophecy. Well, that's a whole other message too. Am I getting too deep for you yet? Huh? Right? So then we have tongues that come for personal edification. And you can even pray and he'll even begin to reveal things to you, interpret things to you in your personal time. But then there comes another manifestation of when you're praying in spirit or in a church service where a message is given out in tongues and then somebody interprets that in a language that you can understand, right? Amen. And then we have the third manifestation of tongues. Tongues will come for intercession. 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 Or we could put it this way, praying for others with groanings. It cannot, things that just cannot, you don't know exactly how to pray, but he knows how to pray for this situation. And so then you know, these things can manifest themselves. Tongues can manifest themselves even through interpretation. Have you ever been over praying in the spirit, praying in tongues where you knew that you were interceding? You weren't praying for you, but you were praying for somebody else. Oh, yeah, all the time. That's another manifestation of tongues. And then fourthly, the fourth manifestation of tongues, diverse tongues, where tongues will come, and then, you know, I'm preaching or I'm ministering. This will happen a lot, especially internationally, where you're ministering. And in my own self, I know that I'm ministering or I'm ministering by the power of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, they could hear me in their own language. And even in myself, I could be thinking, Brambo Kunste, I could be preaching in tongues. But they hear me in their dialect. Does that happen? Oh, yeah. Does that happen today? Oh, yeah. See, you got to believe. No, it happens. The Holy Spirit, he's so multifaceted. And tongues are so diverse. Amen. And so then he's given us this ability, this gift. You need to be praying in the Spirit like you've never prayed before, especially in these days and times. By doing so, building ourselves up, learning how to mortify the deeds of the flesh. Because you see, we're walking in the power of the Holy Ghost. He's never going to lead you to sin. He's never going to lead you to do anything outside of the will of God. Amen. Never. Never. Oh, thank God. Have we missed it before? Yeah, we've missed it. But what do you do when you miss it? Keep going. You keep going. You keep going. Well, Lord, you know, how did I miss that? Just keep going. You're still being transformed. Next time you won't miss it. Amen? Amen. Next time you won't miss it. Praise God. And we don't have time to go read this, but Galatians chapter 5, I didn't even finish the full review. My goodness. But we're learning, we're growing. We'll eventually get over in this. I don't want to rush the Holy Spirit in this. You know, some of these messages, you know, we're repeating some of the same things over and over again. But it's important that we do that because repetition is how we learn. Yes. That's how we learn things. The more you hear something over and over again, there are certain messages that I listen to on my iPhone that I'll listen to over and over and over and over and over again. Then there are other messages that I'll listen to, you know, once or twice or whatever. Oh, that's a good message. But there are certain messages that if I didn't get it, I want to get it. Or maybe I thought I got it, but then there's more to it. I listen to it over and over and over again. Because in his light, we see more light. Amen. So your spirit man is so real. And we learn, when we begin to learn this, we can begin to conduct ourselves in the Spirit, to live and move in the Spirit. Your spirit man is more real than your physical man. But to us, many times we look at the physical man and this is more real to us. And it shouldn't be. Your spirit man has hands the same way that your physical man has hands. Right? Like the gentleman there in the video, Nick. He may not have physical hands and legs, but in the spirit, he's got them. And there's going to come a day and time where that physical body is going to change. Amen? So you have physical hands. You have physical legs. And you have spiritual hands. You have spiritual ears. And spiritual eyes. There are senses. We need to sharpen our spiritual senses. Where we can learn how to conduct ourselves spiritually the way that we should. Walking in the power of the Holy Spirit. Being led. Every day. Father, I commit this today into your hands. Thank you for leading, guiding, and directing us in this. Lord, thank you for taking your time with us, for being patient with us, for showing us these things, revealing these things, speaking these things to us in a different way each time. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for doing that. We're getting it. We're going to get it. We're going to get it. Thank you for helping us to get it. Thank you for helping us to understand. Lord, I commit this today into your hands.